requires a saintly understanding and patience of a judge's family and friends. One simply cannot participate in all of the activities that may have been important in the past. And others who are active in public affairs should recognize that a judge's restraint arises not from hostility to the cause, but from the commitment to performing the judicial function to the best of her ability. The judge surrenders herself to a job over which he has very little control. Now, I've dealt with some length, with the restraint on a woman judge's ability to promote the concerns of women, because I think there is an insufficient understanding of the limitations that are imposed by judicial office. However, there is a potential for a female judge to promote the interests of women in a number of ways. But in this area as well, I hope that you will recognize what is within the women judge's power and what must be done by other women to maximize the achievement of several desirable objectives. Obviously, I believe that an expanded role for women in the judiciary is most desirable, and indeed that it is essential. Judicial positions are highly visible and generally command great respect. This incidentally is revealed in sometimes in amusing circumstances. I recently tried a bank robber, and the accused had been shot in a bank by a policeman and is still carrying two bullets in him. He was unemployed, had a drug habit, and was meeting his financial needs by robbing banks. During the trial, he returned late from a noon recess. He'd been to a doctor and had to wait longer than planned. Came running into the courtroom out of breath and announced in a loud voice, "I'm sorry I'm late, Your Majesty." Now, could you sentence such a gracious gentleman to jail? However, I did. About the same time, I tried a man who was accused of possession of a large amount of heroin, and he had a novel defense. He claimed he was not of this universe, and thus no court on our planet had any jurisdiction over him. And he addressed me during the trial as daughter of the universe. He was a judge sane by the jury. He was found guilty, and he's now in a federal prison. I get frequent letters from him addressed to Daughter of the Universe, Federal Building, Detroit, Michigan. Surprisingly, the mailman understands him. No world. Prominence has the effect of magnifying the performance of the woman judge. If she performs with distinction, the image of women in general will be improved, and hopefully their acceptance in other positions of influence and responsibility will be hastened. The exclusion of women from judicial positions deprives society of an immense pool of talent that resides in the women lawyers of today and the women lawyers of tomorrow. In addition, women who are involved in judicial proceedings as jurors, litigants, witnesses, or attorneys will doubtless feel that the proceedings are less slanted in favor of men if female judges become more common. During my years as a trial lawyer, and I practiced law for 19 years before I went on the bench, I spent countless days in courtrooms where there were no other women. Frankly, women judges bring to the bench an understanding and awareness of many problems that male judges frequently cannot match. There is a long way to go in achieving a reasonable representation of women in the judiciary. In the 188-year history of our federal court system, there have been only a handful of women among more than 2,000 judges who have served. Every federal judge, when appointed, receives a commission signed by the president, and it's a very impressive document as befits the importance of the position. The document is worded in such a way that there's a personal pronoun used in several places. The plates from which these commissions are engraved include the word his and him, and on those rare occasions when a woman is appointed, the his or him is very carefully erased and lettered in by hand the word her. And I think this symbolizes the long-standing attitude with regard to judicial appointments. Women on the bench are still treated differently than men. I'm frequently asked by witnesses who must testify regarding a conversation whether it's permissible for them to repeat profanity that was used in the conversation they're testifying about. My male colleagues are not generally so treated. A less amusing incident occurred when I sat as a state trial judge. The husband in a divorce case filed a motion to disqualify me as the judge based solely on the grounds that I would be biased against him because I was a woman. And when I chose not to disqualify myself, he actually took the matter to the Court of Appeals. Now, one quarter from which I have, personally at least, have not felt any lack of respect or from which I've received any unequal treatment is from other judges. My colleagues on both the state and federal courts on which I have served have treated me with complete equality. And I was elected by the federal judges in this country. Approximately two-thirds of the federal trial judges belong to this organization as chairperson of the National Conference of Federal Trial Judges. And that was personally very gratifying, but I think it also exhibits the willingness of the federal bench to accept women judges. And recently, all of my colleagues who are men of the federal Sixth Circuit, which includes Ohio, Kentucky, Tennessee, and Michigan, have named me as their representative to the Judicial Conference of the United States. They have named me. I haven't gotten my notice back that I'm on, but I hope it is in the mail when I get back. And as was stated here, I will be the chief judge of the Eastern District of Michigan Tuesday noon, and that will be the first woman who has been a chief judge of any district court in the history of the United States. The most important thing that a woman judge can do to promote the expansion of the role of women in the judiciary, in my opinion, is to strive to be a truly outstanding judge. In order for the few women now on the bench to gain needed respect for all women, we must not only perform as well as, but better than our male counterparts, because there's so much more focus on the actions and deportment of a female judge. There is considerable pressure on us to exceed the accepted standards. During the heights of the 1967 civil disturbance in Detroit, sometimes referred to as the riots, it seemed important to me, since I was the only female judge, this was on the state court, among 27 judges, that I should be at the courthouse that day. In Detroit, still the fires were burning, but I thought it would be important that I be there. And in fact, I was the only judge out of the 27 that did get to the courthouse that day. Now, being capable, let alone a better judge, it's extremely arduous, and it's a difficult job because the caseloads have expanded enormously, and we don't have summer recesses anymore, at least not in Detroit. And the issues that face federal judges are incredibly varied and complex. The judge's task is not limited to those cases that gain public attention because of their newsworthiness. Each judge is assigned all kinds of cases: patent litigation, labor disputes, commercial matters, the interpretation of complex and technical administrative regulations. And one is forced to constantly learn about completely new subjects. It would be difficult even if you didn't have all of the other matters that you also have to be hearing. Added to the intellectual burden of mastering these diverse fields is the very heavy responsibility that comes with the performance of judicial functions. And I think most judges would agree that the single hardest task is to sentence a criminal defendant. The deprivation of a person's liberty is an awesome responsibility, and it's rare when a judge feels that the sentence imposed was completely appropriate. Despite these difficulties, there are many, many talented women lawyers who would make excellent trial judges, excellent appellate judges, but they've never had the opportunity. Unfortunately, the Federal Code of Judicial Conduct prevents we few federal women judges from actively promoting the candidacy of women for any position, including judgeship. This can be a very difficult limitation. I was unable to help my older sister when she ran for a state court district judgeship a few years ago. I couldn't even contribute money to her campaign. However, my husband did manage her campaign, and she did win. But my inability to take even the most limited role in that campaign was very frustrating. And it is people like you who must promote the candidacy of women for judicial positions. And women lawyers should not be discouraged from seeking such positions because of an apparent lack of support. Women in all fields should encourage female lawyers to seek judicial positions. When I ran for state court, there was no great outcry that I run to be a state court trial judge. As a matter of fact, there's no outcry at all. It was my decision. Now, in those jurisdictions in which judges are appointed, the appointment of more women must be fought for. It will be difficult because women are sure to be vastly underrepresented among the persons involved in the selection process. and all of you should be alert to opportunities to expand the participation of women in the selection proceedings. I note with optimism the structure of the President's new system of nominating commissions for recommending persons for vacancies on the United States Courts of Appeals. The executive order creating those commissions calls for the inclusion of women in the selection process. One can hardly evaluate the system yet, but it certainly represents an important effort to bring about a greater role for women in selecting judicial appointees. Still, I would caution you that it's not realistic to expect a dramatic expansion of the role of women in the judiciary to anything like our proportion of the population, because women are so underrepresented in the legal profession. Only about 6% of lawyers today are women, but that will not always be the case. The nation's law schools have already begun to train many more women, and law firms are actively seeking women associates. When I graduated from law school, I was told, this is back in 1947, 30 years ago, I was told by all the major law firms that I contacted that they were not hiring women. One prominent firm had the audacity to tell me that they hired women lawyers during the war, but too bad for me, the war was over. That was a large New York law firm. As the pool of capable women lawyers continues to grow, they and others interested in expanding the role of women in the judiciary should be ready and willing to support the election and appointment of women judges. Last year, to tell another little story, last year I participated in a moot court at the Harvard Law School, which is reputedly a center of enlightenment, and the arguments of the student teams were presented as is before the United States Supreme Court. Two other judges and I were designated then to be that court. As is customary in the Supreme Court, the students addressed my two colleagues as Mr. Justice Campbell and Mr. Justice Swigert. After being addressed several times as Mrs. Justice Kennedy, I pointed out to the students that the noun justice has no gender and that I preferred not to be called Mrs. Justice, Ms. Justice, nor Miss Justice. Just plain justice would do. I suppose the students' difficulty in finding a proper form of address is understandable, since the term Mr. Justice has been institutionalized on the United States Supreme Court by exclusive male occupancy. Now, many say that there should be a woman on the United States Supreme Court. I'm disquieted by the manner in which this discussion is framed. It appears that such an appointment is a concession, inappropriate, except for the notion that it's the proper thing to do. We should not think, should not speak, of the desirability of a token woman at any level in the judiciary, including the Supreme Court. Rather, the objective is women, lots of women, at all levels of the judiciary, including the Supreme Court. Yes, there's a dearth of women judges, and isn't it ironic that justice is portrayed as a woman? According to one writer, the Greeks and Romans represented her as having, quote, maidenly form and bearing, with a stern and fearsome countenance, a keen glance of the eye, and a dignity and solemnity which was awe-inspiring. The purpose of this appearance was that she might inspire fear in the wicked and courage in the good. To the latter, as her friend, she presents a friendly aspect, to the former, a stern face. Women have that and more to offer to the judicial system, and let's all seize every opportunity to expand their role in the legal profession and in the judiciary. If I may, I'd like to conclude on a somewhat personal note by saying a few words about my own family. My father left an Idaho farm to work his way through the University of Michigan, and he became a successful trial lawyer. There were no women in his law school class. My mother worked her way through college and was attending law school at the University of Michigan when she passed away, leaving my father with three young daughters. She was one of only two women in her law school class. As I previously mentioned, my older sister is a state of Michigan district judge. Her law class at the University of Michigan had three women in it. My younger sister earned a PhD from that same school and is a college professor, and her classes at the PhD level had few, if any, women in them. And when I attended law school at Michigan, I was one of five women in a class of about 400. Times have changed, and larger percentages of women are now being admitted to professional schools each year. And this fall, I checked with the dean, and 25% of the entering law class at the University of Michigan women, our women. This is a far cry from the day when my parents attended that same school. I'm told, however, that women have to be more proficient than men to gain admittance to professional school. Well, if that's the case, let's be more proficient. Let's encourage our daughters and the daughters of our friends and of others to make that extra effort. And only then will women not only be tolerated in the professional world, but we will be welcome. Thank you.